Welcome to the Plain Level Podcast, episode 90.
Terry Valentine, do you know him?
And who are you?
Wilson. My name's Wilson.
Well, Wilson, to start, I never heard of you.
Well, I'm not that well known, except around certain districts and police nicks, you know.
Police what?
Who, me? No. Don't be bothered, mate.
Hey, who the fuck are you, and how did you get in here?
Only a little bird told me that you and Terry Valentine have business dealings
together. I don't know anybody named Terry Valentine.
Don't you?
Now you take a walk, pal, okay? You're making a big mistake. Come on. Hey!
What you been up to, pal? What you been doing, son? You got a bunch of ideas up.
He's one, bruv.
My geese. All right. Fucking great pills, man. Yeah. I'll have to do you for... That's 15 for two or what? They fucking good game, man, aren't they? All right. Enjoy yourself, man. Okay, wait.
Yeah, I can have two.
Sweet. Cheers, Goose. Can I help you, mate?
Sorry.
The fuck are you looking at? Jack.
I like a lot more than 89. Hello, and welcome to the Plain Label Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Williams, and along with me is my good friend and co-host, Mrs. Rachel Zelag.
Hola.
In this episode, that was like a creepy, creepy Mexican thing there.
Yeah.
Or Spanish.
In the hall.
In this episode, we are wrapping up our theme of revenge movies with a discussion on the films The Limey and Dead Man's Shoes. Before getting into our discussion, we would like to mention that we are proud members of the Deliberate Noise Network. Head over to deliberatenoise.com and check out some of the other shows that are over there. Mrs. Zelag, what are you drinking tonight? And this is one of the rare times that this is actually filmed on like a drinkable kind of a night.
Yes.
Or shows.
That's the irony.
That you're having like a water.
I drank most of the vodka in Lincoln, Nebraska last night.
What do you mean?
I thought
Strauss said that, she had behaved herself. Does that mean that you were misbehaving for both of them?
Yeah. She was a good girl. And then she went home, and then the shit show happened.
Oh. It was Brad and Brad's sister and you.
No, it wasn't Brad.
It was bonding. It was in-laws bonding time.
Yes, yes. And I woke up this morning and I heard Brad's voice and I'm like, oh, because I didn't work today. And I'm like, oh, I'll say bye to him before he goes to work. Now, he was home for lunch. It was noon.
Nice.
And I was just like, holy shit. So I'm drinking my favorite Pure Leaf iced tea right now.
Smart.
Because I was drunk yesterday.
And this morning.
But... when we went out last night, Brad, out of his own accord at the sushi place, chose a little something-something.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And it's strong tasting.
He loved it.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Brad and I can finally see eye to eye on something.
Right. Smart. Well, I thought you guys already agreed on how great I am.
So I'm drinking vodka and lemonade.
Oh, and God.
The lemonade that I'm having is from... a very rare trip to the Runza, which people outside of Nebraska are not going to know what that is. But we went there because we were closing on that, on our house, and we didn't have time to get home, and we were kind of running around. And so we were like, oh yeah, we'll just get something to eat and we'll grab some lemonade. And we took about two drinks and was like, holy shit, this is all sugar.
Oh, I bet.
We don't really do the soda anymore.
Right. You mean death syrup?
Yes. And so... and I was like, wow, this is really sugary. So can we put this in vodka when we get home? Like just
problem solver.
Yeah, just same sentence. Didn't even take a breath, really. I was like, absolutely. So mine's left over, which means it is all watered down. And the first drink of the drink that I made my cheeks shake a little bit.
Really?
I was like, wow, that tastes like I'm just sipping on some vodka.
Right? The girl who made our drinks last night. I ordered vodka water, and it was like three quarters and then a little bit of water.
Ah. So like the first half is rough, and then after that it's way too good?
I mean, it tastes, I don't know. I just drank it.
Didn't worry about it.
No, not my problem.
All right. So our first pick, these are both British films, in case people didn't know that. Our first pick is from 1999. It is Rachel's pick, and it is The Limey.
My name's Wilson. You wrote me about my daughter. This bloke she was bunked up with.
Terry Valentine.
What's he got to say for himself? You tell him! You tell him I'm coming! Tell him I'm coming!
Jenny never told you about her dad.
What dad?
When he was in prison for 9 years. He was released last month.
As long as nobody can connect anything to me.
An ex-con fresh out of prison goes to L.A. to try to learn who murdered his daughter. However, he quickly finds he's completely out of place with no understanding of the culture he finds. His investigations are helped by another ex-con. Together they learn that his daughter had been having an affair with a record producer who is presently having an affair with a younger woman. An aging actress who also knew his daughter forces him to look at his own failures as a father. The movie does focus on the drama of the situation and the interrelationships of the characters and seldom slips into an action piece.
Well,
one of the weirdest fucking things I've ever read.
It was a little bit of commentary that was in there.
Yeah, right.
And what's unfortunate is, okay, most of the time, if you go to IMDb, and if people want to follow along, and you go to storyline, I go to the clickable link of plot summary, and there is usually the plot summaries that I choose between. And I generally don't pick the first one, because the first one is usually fairly well written. And so I'm like, nah, that's not as fun, like that's nothing. This is the one that's like the official IMDb like plot synopsis of this film. And I was like, God, that is so weird sounding. Like, I'm picking that one for sure. So, I don't know. I thought that was so odd because it was like, here is what the movie's about. And then you know what? The movie does this, but it doesn't do this. Oh, okay.
And I mean, it's not really the movie. I guess, I don't know. That doesn't seem... If someone asked me what this movie is about, I would probably use none of those words.
That's right.
Like, maybe L.A.
Yes.
But I mean, that's probably about it.
So what are some of the words that you would use to describe this movie?
First of all, I'd be like, Luis Guzman or whatever is in it.
Yeah. Oddly.
Yeah.
He's in two of the revenge movies that we picked.
He's like the revenge, ultimate revenge sidekick.
How strange is that? Like, I would have never thought that we would have come across, in this theme, two movies with Luis Guzman.
I'm going to be... If I ever wrote a revenge movie, I would have to have him in it as my sidekick.
And you have to call him something fairly racist, too, like Paco or Pedro or something.
Yeah, Carlos.
Yeah.
I'd give him, like, a... Like, his name would be, like, Howard.
Well, and here he's Eduardo, right? And so it's like, it's just the... I don't know. It's like, okay. You couldn't just name him, like... Mexican guy. Jeez Louise.
Jeez Louise Guzman.
Jeez. That's his name. Like, it goes by Jeez.
Jeez.
Yeah. GG.
Is she having an affair with a record producer? Is that
I thought the young girl was just with him.
Right. I mean, like.
Oh, the dead one.
Doesn't having an affair mean that he is married to someone else?
Melissa George. Who I kind of like and was in a really odd role of just not having her voice used at all in this. She was just in flashback.
She's the dead one?
And it was muted, yeah.
Okay.
She was Jenny. She's in, like, In Treatment in the Amityville Horror remake, which is, I think, is better than a lot of people think it is. But regardless, she, you know, she's definitely not a British actress, but so maybe that's why they did it, but... It was just kind of odd to me to where it's like, oh, hey, it's Melissa George, and she's not talking this entire movie, okay?
They were probably like, do a Cockney accent. And she was like, hello, governor. And they're like, well, maybe we'll cut your line. That's fine.
She's from Australia, though.
Oh.
Wow, I didn't know that at all. I thought she was, man, she does a good American accent then, I guess. Huh, good for her. So she was just with Peter Fonda's character, Terry Valentine. They were just together, I thought. I didn't think that she was any kind of, like, mistress or anything
right.
like that.
Right, like, it doesn't mention that he's married to someone else, I guess.
No. And then the other young woman who...
doesn't know what she's doing. She's dumb.
Yeah.
But, and I didn't realize he was a record producer. These things don't matter.
The
thing that was interesting to me is when they introduce his character, he's in like a 70s sitcom montage.
Yeah. So strange.
The cutting of this movie is the weirdest fucking shit. Like, and like, things are cut weird in movies. I understand, like, Memento bounces all around, blah, 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 but that's for a point, like a
sure. purpose. Sure.
And this is, like, initially, like, he's talking to, you know, Jeez Louise Guzman, and they're at the picnic table, but all of a sudden they're not. They're, like, in the car, and he's also on a plane. And, like, it's just dialogue. But right. they're, like, flashing to, like, weird So I thought that, like, the computer was, like, because, like, they're even sitting there and not talking.
Oh, so you thought the file was all fucked up?
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, is like something going wrong, blah, blah, blah. Like, no. He starts talking again. It's like with his mouth. And so like, I guess it obviously didn't add anything for me because like, it didn't help with the movie at all. It didn't like, there wasn't a point to it and it almost took away from it for me because I was like, what the fuck? Why are you cutting weirdly? Like every time there's something weird. But then there'll be scenes where, like, they're just talking normally.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I don't know, I think that it... I don't really necessarily want to just try to come off like I'm defending it, but I think that if you try to imagine them just talking the entire time, that's a lot of just talking.
Sure, and I get that.
And so I think the attempt is to sort of show, like, how... he got where he is in a more interesting way without lengthening the film.
Right, I get it. Like, they tried to, I don't know. I guess I was just hoping that there was a different way to add a little spice, I guess.
Okay, so just one of those where it just didn't quite work, the attempt.
Right, it was just weird.
And this is, we should say this is directed by Steven Soderbergh. And Steven Soderbergh has done quite a varied group of movies. His first one was Sex, Lies, and Videotape.
Nope, I've never seen that.
And then he's done Out of Sight with George Clooney and Jennifer Lopez.
Nope.
Yeah, how about Aaron Brockovich?
Yes.
How about Traffic?
No.
Oceans 11 and 13.
Yes.
He did Solaris with George Clooney. He's done The Good German. He's done Shay, The Girlfriend Experience, Contagion, Haywire, Magic Mike.
Magic Mike?
Yeah, Side Effects. He's done a lot of things. So what he's kind of like the indie director to where he does an experimental movie or a movie for himself, like more of an independent movie. You know, such as something like The Girlfriend Experience, which was with an actual porn star, and it's very low budget, very very indie. And then he does a movie that is more for the masses, like an Ocean's 12 or an Ocean's 13. And so then he just kind of goes like back and forth. So okay. It's like one for the studios, one for him, one for the studios, one for him. So I don't know that I think this would be more on the indie side. Like I don't know that Hollywood was clamoring for, you know, Zod from the original Superman movie, Terrence Stamp, to come back and make a big sort of triumphant comeback in this film because it doesn't have a lot of star power. I mean, you know, Terrence Stamp is famous, but he's not like carrying a movie in modern Hollywood kind of famous.
Right, agreed.
And so it's an interesting choice.
Grown person.
What's that?
I said I was going to say what else has he been in, and I said I guess I can look it up myself. like a grown person.
Like a grown up.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think what he's trying to do is on movies where it's more for him, I think he's just kind of just testing things out, like trying different things.
Okay. And that makes sense. Like I'm okay with that. I get what you're saying. And I understand, you know, like trying to switch it up a little bit, like not just have people talking, cause that is important. It was just weird enough to me where I was like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Because it was, our second film does this very deliberately where it very clearly tells you what's happening now and what's happened before. And this one is kind of all over the place. So it does at times you're like, wait a minute, what? Is the video messed up or?
Right.
Because it's the same guy talking, but his mouth's not moving. And it seems like, you know, yeah, so it just is it can be a little bit of a, whoa, what's happening?
Right.
You know? I did write down that my first notes were the musical score and the film editing. Very, very interesting, I said. I don't know if Cruise is going to like the film editing.
Is that what, yeah.
So that's funny.
Yeah, I mean, the score was pretty good.
Yeah, I like the music. I think that that's another big thing that I think that Soderbergh uses really well. So what did we think of the two main leads? Like Terrence Stamp doing, you know, full-on British Terrence Stamp. And Peter Fonda just being the, like, most L.A. guy I could ever imagine.
Right.
Like, just fake tan and fake face and just fake everything.
Yeah. They say completely out of place with no understanding of the culture he finds. Like, they don't really, that didn't happen for me, I guess, at least. Like, he shows up and he tries to find his daughter and he just, like, fucking kills people. Like, he doesn't care. So I liked him in the role, as, like, British guy, like, don't fuck with me.
Yeah, because I guess sticking with that, I never really thought that he gave a shit that he didn't fit in.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there was a scene where he was like angsty about like, I'll never understand your LA ways.
It's not like the fucking, it's not like Elf, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, no, he didn't, fucking care. Yeah, he didn't. Yeah,
he's just there, like, he doesn't give a shit about where he's at when he's at the warehouse, he just goes to fucking
right, he's just punch that dude. Like, fences and break it into shit. And stealing Rolodexes.
Alright, yeah.
In 1999, they probably still were.
Oh, absolutely.
But I was thinking that today, like, who the fuck has a Rolodex? Maybe some people do, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
If you're old, you might have one.
I wish I had one, that would be cool. Not kidding. So anyway, yeah, so I thought that was odd.
Yeah, and Peter Fonda, I mean, his character was made to be unlikable, but, like, he was kind of vanilla for me.
Oh, really?
Like, I didn't, he was, like, not a bad enough guy for me to be like, oh, like, fuck this guy, you know what I mean? Like, just kind of like, oh, I'm by the pool, and I don't want to get my hands dirty, and I have white suits. And, like, so he didn't make a really big impression on me.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess when I saw him, he was just every negative stereotype I think of Hollywood.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And so while I was just kind of like, oh, man, Terrence Stamp is a lot of fun watching him just say whatever the fuck he wants and calling him all the cool British slangs for swearing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh man, that sounds fucking great coming out of his mouth. And, you know, Terry Valentine was just such a American puke.
Yeah, he was a puke for sure, but I don't know. I guess, like, there wasn't a scene where, like, with the daughter, he ends up, you know, saying that he was, like, upset that she was going to call the cops. But, like, there wasn't a scene that showed him doing something bad enough where I was like, oh man, this guy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And let's skip to the end. So we hear about how, you know, Jenny's dead. We know that right at the beginning. But we don't really know, like, what exactly has happened. We know that Terry has something to do with it.
Right.
So I'm sitting there thinking, okay, well, she seems like she's got, you know, she's this kind of fiery young woman who's going to rat him out for some underhanded dealings that he's been doing.
Right.
It's kind of the impression. And so he's going to just have enough and he's going to kill her eventually.
Right.
And so we get to the end and it's like, I wrote down that it was the anti-sleepers to me because the revenge wasn't that sweet. Like here, the death of Jenny is kind of more accidental.
Right.
And so I'm like, well, I don't know. Like, I don't really know if I want Terry dead or not. Like, he's not a great guy, but I don't know, like, that Wilson should be as pissed as he is, you know, and all right. That kind of thing.
Right, that's what I'm saying, because, like, if he, like, had kidnapped her and was, like, doing horrible things to her, yeah. I'd be like, kill that guy. Kill him hard. Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah, he seemed to like her. And they stayed together forever, and, you know, I'm not defending him in any way. He did kill her and then, like, cover it up. But, like, he was sorry about it. It wasn't like you comparing it to sleepers. It wasn't like Kevin Bacon who could give a shit less that he was a horrible human being. So right. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was kind of a gray area for me, too.
Yeah, and so I think what's interesting is, you know, I didn't necessarily plan it to where we're like, hey, for the last episode, we should pick two British films. And they should have this kind of colder look to revenge in some ways, yeah. And have like more, gray areas in terms of the revenge stuff.
And, right. Cause I've never seen these movies, so I have no idea.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, there's a million different revenge movies that we could have picked, but I thought it was interesting that we went with some that we hadn't seen before.
Yeah.
but yeah, so I think that, here I was just kind of like, ah, oh, yeah, Terrence Stamp, super cool, kill all the peoples, and then at the end it's gonna be him, mano a mano, and Geez Louise Guzman's going to get injured, and then it's gonna be Stamp and Fonda, and it's gonna be some kind of showdown, and then you're gonna be like, yeah, yeah, Terrence Stamp killed him, fuck you, and that's not really how it goes down, and so I'm kind of left. Like, I'm left appreciating the film, but not, like, rah-rah about it. Like, oh, yeah, that was good. I enjoyed it. That was well made. You know, it's that kind of a reaction as opposed to, oh, fuck yeah. You know? Does that make sense? That's very inarticulate of me, but.
No, but I get what you're saying. At the end, you don't get a yeah. You get more of, like, a,
Okay. Well, he killed the big fat bodyguard, so that was good.
That was satisfying. Oh, and that one guy with the glasses, that was probably actually more satisfying revenge for me than like the other guy.
At the shootout there at the end?
Yeah, the shitbag with the glasses and the suit that's like his like little hitman.
Oh yeah, that Terry could have helped and he's just like, nah, good.
Yeah, I mean like he is very what's that called? Like not self-important, but, like, he definitely was, like, out for himself. Because, he's like, stay and, like, risk my life to help you.
Well, and I loved it when they get down to the water, and Terry's just such a pansy when he's, like, tiptoeing down on the rocks. And I'm like, oh, my God, dude. Like, this is fucking life or death. And you're just like, oh, I don't want to get my shoes wet kind of a walk. Like, good Lord. But that...
Malfoy.
Yeah, that's right. Just real punchable.
Right.
But I just was looking at him and just like, oh my goodness. Like, you know, I understand why you're being this way and it's definitely effective for me, but he was so, he was really grating for me in the way that he was supposed to be, I guess.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, that was definitely his character and he did a great job at being that guy. But yeah, he was very LA and, Katie was talking to me the other day, ironically enough. They have like a skit on Saturday Night Live, I guess. It's called like LA Chicks or something. And, every time you go anywhere in LA, apparently you tell everyone how you got there.
Oh, is that right?
And so you're like, yeah, I got on the 708 and then took it down to this and this and this. Cause like traffic is such a big deal there that it's basically a topic of conversation. Like during like every conversation. And so, she was trying to tell her friend in this movie how to get there, and I thought that was really funny.
That is funny.
Trying to give her directions, and, I mean, it's really funny, because, like, I'd be like, yeah, I got to work. I took 70th Street. And people would just be like, "What the? Okay, great. Good for you."
But yeah, I made it in there. I took O and ended up there. So.
15 whole minutes in the car. It was just hell.
There you go. I had, I saw four other cars the whole way. It was good.
Deer?
I saw a deer. Yeah. What do we think of, Leslie Ann Warren in that whole storyline? The older actress friend of Jenny.
Was she trying to get it in or what?
She wasn't trying very hard because I was like, all right, come on, lady. Like, this is a British man who's got the accent working for you for sure.
Right.
She's like playing hard to get enough to where it doesn't seem like she's being slutty about it. But then, I don't know, that didn't really lead enough of a place to where I was like, well, I guess it gives him more, background about what his daughter was like, but I was just like, I don't know. And did you recognize her?
No.
Mm.
Old lady with 90s hair?
We did, a movie with her in it, playing a prominent role. But it is very obscure, but she was in the 1982 film Victor Victoria. That was Norma Cassidy.
The one with the voice?
Norma, the blonde one.
Blonde one?
Yeah.
The one that's like, Chicago or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. She looks totally different.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what, well, I guess it's 17 years will do for you.
Whatever, Clooney looks the same.
I don't know. He looks a little different in, what is the show he was on? Was it Full House?
No, he was on Roseanne.
Roseanne. Mm. Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
With the mullet?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll trust your judgment on that. I will trust you all the way on that one. I think
that if he would have slept with her, that's, like, not really his character, because he wasn't there to, like, find romance. He was just there and kill people and go home.
Okay, so do you think that that is why that's there, as it's, like, a little nod to, yeah, look, in most of these movies, he would bang it out with her friend, but he's not about anything other than his goal?
Yeah, probably. Do you think meeting her obviously did all the background and on how he's not a great dad or whatever, but he's trying, you know, that whole spiel. And so she had to be there for that, for sure. But yeah, I think that, like, if he would have banged her, I would have been like, well, that's weird.
Hmm, sure.
Like, it just doesn't seem like I said, like, that's what he was there for. Like, when James Bond does it, it's because, like, that's sexy.
Sure.
Know? Like, it's different, so.
Yeah, I guess I would have been, I would have been a little put off as to, like, what is this adding to anything?
Yeah, right. Because, I mean, that's not what the movie was about. It was about revenge, not banging.
Yeah.
Those are different movies, and they cost money.
As you found out the hard way.
Yeah, they just take your credit card info.
Those aren't free. I just put it in because it told me to. I was like...
Right. I don't know what these charges are.
It said it'd be obscured, and it's lying, so now I'm upset.
Right.
Now I'm going to tell
you. Let me get this straight. You watched Backdoor Sluts 8 for the podcast? Yes, I had to.
Yeah. Eric said he wanted to do it. Why did I not be on that show, Brad would say. So I thought that was kind of a, I don't know, like I felt like it was a real smart move by Soderbergh as to kind of playing with the audience a little bit by saying, here's where this, you expect this to go, but it's not going to go in that direction.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, it didn't necessarily, it's not a thing. I guess it's pretty indicative of what the rest of the movie was like, to where it was like, oh, okay, that's clever. And that was well done. But I wasn't like, oh, wow. You know, that was so, it really had me, it was twisting and then it turned and all that. Like, it wasn't like a mind bottling sort of thing.
Right.
So I don't know. So I thought the movie overall was, I enjoyed it. It was good. I thought Terrence Stamp was very good.
Yeah.
It's not one that I would run out and purchase though.
No, I'm pretty much on the same level you are. I was like, oh yeah, that some of that stuff was pretty good. And, I wasn't on my way to the store right after I watched it to get it, so.
Yeah, it wasn't, added to wish list. It wasn't one of those. Which, by the way, we haven't got anything for a while, and it's pretty ridiculous, is what I'm saying.
And.
There's a lot of movies on there, including They Came Together. Still not in my possession.
I'm still disappointed that Katie didn't like that movie.
I know. That is like, whew. I mean, that's like, you know, getting first cut for the old wedding reception sort of thing. I mean, that's some serious business.
Right? I should bring it up in my toast.
There you go. Even though she didn't like Snowpiercer or They Came Together or anything else that's good.
Anything that's like good. Why don't you just go with some more rom-coms
and
try it out?
You know what is good, though, Cruz? Is Audible.com.
Yeah, it is.
And Audible.com is offering our listeners a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/plainlabelpodcast and choose from over 180,000 audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Go to audibletrial.com/plainlabelpodcast and get started today. So our second film is my selection. It is also very British. It is from 2004 and it is Dead Man's Shoes.
God will forgive them. He'll forgive them and allow them into heaven. I can't live without.
I'm gonna have to go back to town in a bit, mate, to sort some business out.
The man's at the door with massive eyes. He has massive eyes.
It's Anthony's brother, isn't it?
I mean, how did he get in here? How clever is that?
You're the lads had this ridiculous idea.
Yeah, it was me.
I watched over you when you were asleep. I looked at your neck, and I was that far away from slicing it.
It's a local lunatic, isn't it?
Not me. I'm really sorry. I'm really ashamed of myself for losing control.
All right. He ain't going away, fellas. He's got to get done.
Because I'm going to hit you all. If I were you, I'd get in the car and I'd get out of here, man.
What did you do to him? What did you do?
When you die, it ain't the end. It ain't the end when you die.
It was an accident.
Come on! Why don't I die with him?
Dead man, be brave.
You know I am.
Devil. You shall be saved by
me. Make me very nervous, Richard. Well, you should be.
Shall be safe.
Richard returns home from military service to a small town in the Midlands.
Okay.
He has one thing on his mind. Revenge. Mm. Payback for the local bullies who did some very bad things to his brother. At first, his campaign employs guerrilla tactics designed to frighten the men and put them ill at ease. But then he steps up his operation, and one by one, these local tough guys are picked off by the terrifying angel of vengeance that Richard has become.
Now that's being a bit dramatic. The angel of vengeance. I mean, come on. He's like a guy that has PTSD and he's wanting to kill these dudes that were mean to his brother.
Right.
But that doesn't, I guess that doesn't move the needle like being hyperbolic
terrifying
does.
Terrifying angel of vengeance.
Yeah. Now, I will say that, this was a film that has a very, very, to me, scary character design when he puts on the mask. The gas mask looking thing.
Yeah.
Because it looks like he's got the bottom, the filter there at the bottom, and it looks like teeth to me. Like there was a little like white around the edge, and I was like, oh shit, like I do not like the looks of that at all.
I'm scared.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You know, I watched it by myself. I was like, oh, jeez, that is unsettling. So, Dead Man's Shoes, Patty Considine and Shane Meadows were the co-writers, and Patty Considine was the main actor, and Shane Meadows was the director. Shane Meadows has also done This Is England, Let's see, what else has he done? That's pretty much his main thing that he did from 2006. And that was fairly well regarded at the time. And he is quite British and does not mind if you can't really understand what is going on in the movie in terms of the dialogue.
Okay.
Because I tried to put the captions on and it was only Spanish available.
What? And I was like,
what the fuck? Because I couldn't understand what they were saying a lot of the time.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's like, you just got to roll with it. Like, it's like when you watch, I mean, I have done this before. I'm just going to full disclosure. But when you watch Spanish soap operas,
mm-hmm.
catch like a couple words that you know, but you can kind of tell like by the connotation or like their voice. That they're angry.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you're not missing the, it's like a play, or you're not exactly missing what's happening, but you may not be hearing every line.
Right. That's what I was like, oh, he must be mad. Okay, now he's kind of sad. Okay, cool.
Yeah, and this one, it's like, wow, he is definitely killing someone, so he must be angry at them. Right. All right. Shit.
I did get, I mean, I know some of the words, like cunt was like 7,000 times.
Fuck. Yeah. There's lots of fucks, so I definitely yep. understood those.
Yep.
Okay, so this was a first watch again for both of us. What did you make of this one? I feel like this is an interesting one, that this could kind of go either way. So I didn't have any predictions for you on this one.
I don't really know. There was a twist ending, but
A little bit.
And I thought that was kind of clever the way they did that, because I didn't see that coming.
Mm-hmm.
It is definitely a thinker piece. It's not. It's kind of like the Asian one.
I saw The Devil.
Where it was not fun to watch, but it made me think while I was watching it, I guess.
That's weird, because, you know, sometimes on the show, Cruz, it would be nice if we had very distinct and different opinions.
Right. Sometimes we do.
Sometimes. Yes. Sometimes. And they last 4 years. in this case, I'm completely with you, because I wrote down, this is pleasureless, is the way that I described it.
Fair enough.
I felt like I wasn't having fun watching him kill these guys. Like I was just watching them kill them and was like, God, they deserved it, but he doesn't seem like he's feeling better by doing it. It just seems like something that needs to be done.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He's not getting, I don't think he's getting any pleasure out of it.
Mm-hmm. And so I felt like there's no pleasure from him, and that there's no pleasure from the audience watching it either, is the way that I ended up feeling. But right. I think that that's also the point, sort of. You know, like, I think it's trying to not glorify the whole revenge.
Right. Oh, yeah. Thing. No, I totally agree. Because, like, even, you know, the conversation at the end with the guy, like, he's like, I have to be done with this. Like, basically, it was a mission for him.
Sure. And so the only thing that I didn't, I don't know. I liked a lot of it. And I liked... contrary to the Limey, I liked that here it was very distinctive. Black and white was in the past and color was in the present.
Right.
So it was all really clear on what was going on. I think that it is a little bit of a cheat in that at first we meet X amount of people and then we keep meeting more people.
Yes.
As we go on, and I'm like, God, like, what the fuck are all these guys don't have a single thing to do but fuck with this poor handicapped guy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, like, I understand if it's just like a group of people and one time they fuck with the guy and so then he comes back and he wants his revenge. Right? Like, if they fuck with him and it leads to the dude killing himself and then he wants revenge on it. I get that. Right. But the fact that it was just like, an everyday sort of thing, and there was just all these other players that were involved. I was like, I don't know, that seems like it's cheating to me. Because it's like I think of the revenge genre, I guess, as like video game-like.
Okay.
To where you have, okay, you're introduced with six people, and we're going to kill off all the least important people at the beginning, and they're going to save the most until the end. And it's like we are introduced with six, and then we had seven, and now we have eight, and it's like, well, what the fuck? Like, you're adding extra people that I don't give a shit about at the end.
Right. And like, especially the last one.
Yeah.
I'm like, I didn't even, okay, I guess he was in the flashback a little bit, like, now that I think about, you know, like, when you're like watching it, but initially I was like, what the hell is this scene about? Ladies washing the dishes, like, who the hell are these people that we've never seen
before? Yeah, I was like, who is this British woman and these kids, and why is he wearing the mask? And
right.
And I was just kind of, it wasn't like I was taken aback, but I was kind of like, okay, I'm in this sort of rhythm of he's going through these people and he's killing them, and this is what the movie is, and that's fine. And then it was kind of like, all right, well, what is this? What is this then?
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know what I think about that. I think that, you know, skipping ahead to the end, since we're already talking about it a little bit, I do like the fact that, and spoilers here, but I do like the fact that they switch it around and, the main character, Richard, who is the war veteran, he wants to be killed.
Because oh, yeah.
He's saying, you know, he can't deal with what he's become.
Yeah, I thought that was a really interesting ending.
Yeah. And so I liked that. And so I liked the fact that it's kind of like a, you know, you didn't do anything and you just stood by and watched these things happen to my brother.
Right.
And now I'm forcing you to do something that you're going to have to just kind of live your life thinking about, sort right. of. And so all of that guy has, like, all of that guy's, he's more of like a reflection or a reflective sort of character as opposed to an action sort of a character, to where all right. of that guy at the end is just thinking about what he didn't do and then what he did.
Right. Yeah. That's a really good point.
And so I kind of like the way that that ends.
Yeah, I agree. And he, you know, he was like talking to his wife and he's like, I could have helped him and I didn't and I should have. And so like he felt probably the only one that felt some sort of remorse over it. I don't think any of the other people gave a shit. So.
Yeah. And he did. And I think that that's really important that he just right from the beginning, just volunteers this information to his wife.
Yeah.
Because I think if he would have hid it from her and then Richard comes back again or something, or one of the kids get hurt or she gets threatened or, you know, something else happens.
Yeah.
And then he spills the beans. I think that would have been less effective as opposed to it's like, holy shit, this one mistake that I made. This is what happens. I've got to tell you right now.
Right. And it establishes him as like more of a good guy than yeah. anyone else in that group of people for sure.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. And I really kind of like that. I think I like it more the more that I'm thinking about it. At the time, I was just kind of like, okay, well, all right. You know, I was kind of like that, like,
Right.
All right. Explain to me, so the brother that's mentally challenged, I was surprised that he was dead in present day.
Yeah, me too.
Because I thought that Richard was talking with him at the beginning in present day.
He was, and he, like, you know, they kind of, like, sixth sense-y a little bit. Spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen that. but, like, he tells him to go away when the guy comes up and talks to him in the street.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I was thinking about that when you find out that he's actually dead, and I'm like, okay. I mean, like, maybe he just had to go away in his brain or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really, I thought, interesting how when they do the flashbacks, they keep showing a little bit more at a time.
Sure.
And, like, show initially that he shows up, and then they show that, you know, this happened, and then, like, a little bit later, they show that, like, oh, they were doing the worst things to him. And then a little bit later, they're like, oh, they're doing even worse things to him. So by the time you get to the confession, you're like, oh, God, that's how it actually ended. Mm-hmm. It's like you didn't get to that point. And so I really did like that. But, like, my question is, where is it in my notes here? Where are the parents of these people? Like, there were people at the funeral. Shouldn't there have been some person taking care or at least, like, watching the brother while the other one was doing whatever he was doing?
Yeah, so Richard was overseas fighting. Yeah. And so somewhat, like, Anthony shouldn't have been able to be on his own.
Right.
So I don't, yeah, that was a thing that I was also like, wait a minute, what the hell?
Cause like, I can understand, like, maybe your parents are dead or maybe you only have each other, but like, there were probably 15 people at his funeral. So like, there were people that cared about him. Like, what, was nobody keeping an eye peeled? Cause like, he can obviously function on his own, but like, he, you know, he's gonna need a little bit of help with stuff and somebody should have been like, hey, don't hang out with those fucking idiots.
Yeah, really. But,
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I may. I think I would have liked it more if someone would have been there looking out for him and at least trying to keep him away
right.
from that group.
There was a scene where they were like teary eyed and they're like, "I'm sorry, I did what I could," or he just wouldn't listen or something like that. Because, I mean, I understand that not every part of the backstory has to be explained to me, but that I feel like that was a loose end that I didn't feel like was tied up.
Well, that could have been an opportunity also to have someone who didn't prevent the brother from ending up with this crowd. Like, does he kill them also? Because
right,
he allowed them to go, you know.
Right. Or that person could have been, the person at the end instead of
sure.
a random group
sure.
person that we meet 5 minutes up before the movie gets over.
right.
But I just thought that was interesting. I also think that it's funny that every group of European men has at least one guy in a tracksuit. Just every. Is that like a thing that they wear track pants all the time? Cause like, I don't know. I've never been to Europe, but I feel like every movie or every time I see something about it on like television or something, like somebody has track pants on in a zip up.
And I feel like I feel like there is a more than normal amount of guys just checking out porn together.
or in the bathtub and the other one's shitting?
Yeah, just like, hey,
just like chillaxing?
I don't know, maybe the whole privacy thing is not valued as highly.
Americans are super, we're super prudes when it comes to general stuff like that. Well, like, I was just watching Sense8 and the guy in Germany was like swimming naked. And apparently in a bathhouse that everybody's just naked in.
How'd you feel about that?
Oh, I felt great. He was adorable. So that was fine for me.
It's good. It's good to know.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see. One of the other notes that I wrote down was, I put that, what if the bad guy or the monster or whatever from a horror movie was the good guy? And that's what I felt like watching this movie. Because the Richard character was very, one note, and his quest was revenge, and that's all he was concerned about, right? And so it felt to me like it was an 80s horror villain, but he was the good guy instead.
Fair enough.
And I was like, wow, that's, like, I like that premise. I was like, that's kind of interesting.
It is interesting. Yeah, cause like, in my notes I wrote, these people are the biggest group of idiots I've ever seen. Like, how do they function on a daily basis? Like,
well, they're drug
dealers,
they right?
Well, yeah, I guess, but I mean, like, like, when they have the scene where Kid Rock sees the elephant man.
Yeah.
And he's trying to explain it, and then they're, like, all talking at once, and nobody's really saying anything to, like, help clarify the situation. I'm like, I would fucking... Like, that word punchable comes up into my head again. Cause,
oh,
like,
yeah.
How do you solve any problems amongst yourselves? Cause, like, they're all just, like, mindlessly voicing their opinion, but none of it, like, is helpful to any extent. And I'm like, I was getting frustrated sitting there listening to them.
Mm.
Like, when the guy comes in and he has, like, the clown makeup on or whatever, And the two guys come in, and he has a target on his back. And he's like, which one of you fucking did this to me? And they're, like, just fighting. Like, and everybody's just talking at once, and nobody's helping. And I was like, oh, my God, everybody, just stop. But that's, like, the premise for an 80s movie is that everyone's dumb. And, like, nobody takes precautions. And they just get picked off one by one. So, like, at the end when they're, like, all in that group together, they can't leave each other's side, the three of those people. They're just, like, waiting for the serial killer to come get them.
Yeah, that's true. So I looked up a little bit of trivia here. Toby Kebbell is the guy who played the brother. He was cast a day before filming started.
Really?
And he is playing the bad guy in the new Fantastic Four movie that comes out in, like, a week.
Oh.
That's quite a splash for him. And he also played Koba in the Planet of the Apes remakes. The bad guy monkey.
The bad guy monkey.
Yeah.
That sounds like an alt-rock band.
That does. The bad guy monkey.
Bad monkey.
That's good.
Sounds good, like one of Andy's names on Parks and Rec.
Yeah, it does. With Mouse Rat and what have you. So I don't know. This was a movie that it frankly left me a little cold. It left me being interested by the end. But I think I appreciate it more now that we're talking about it than I did at the time. Cause I think I watched it and was just kind of like, well, that's an interesting way to do it. But I don't know if that, what it amounts to really. But yeah, so I don't know. So I mean, I liked it, and it's really similar to The Limey for me, to where I really liked it and thought it was made well, and I thought that the acting was good, but it was not a movie to where I'm like, holy cow, you guys have to see this.
Yeah, that's true. But it was interesting to, like, I'm trying to think back on the other ones, like, cause I empathize. No, sorry. Sympathize, because empathize means you've been through it, and I didn't have a brother that was killed by people.
If you did, though.
If I did, but I felt more for this situation than I have with, like, the Limey, for some reason, because, like, they show, like, the pictures of the brothers, like, when they're little, and they grew up together, and, like, I can, like, see that bond there, and, like, more than my daughter got, you know, like, cause I don't have a daughter and I'm not a British dude and I fly on a plane to go kill a guy in LA. So like,
that I was a shitty father to when I was in jail and didn't really see her. Yeah.
Right. Well, you still have the opportunity for that. So give it a shot. But,
what? Excuse me. I've never been to jail.
I know.
That's the only difference.
But I, Jesus. But I think, like, the whole brother, like, I mean, that one hit a lot closer to home, I guess. So I was like, oh my God, yes, revenge your brother. But then I was kind of angry with him at the end because he said something mean about him. He was like, I was ashamed of him or something.
Yes, he does say that. Yep. He talks about how basically he was a burden on him.
Yeah. And I was like, well now I don't.
Fuck you. Yeah.
Then. Cause I thought that you were doing this cause you fucking love your brother so hard. And then. So, like, at the very end, I was, like, mixed emotions about it. I was like, oh, okay. Because, like, why would you be doing this if you didn't? And then I thought maybe he was just, like, talking out because he was so angry. But, like, maybe he was just saying stuff to say it. But because, like, I wanted to like him the whole time, and I did. And then he said that, and I was like, you're kind of a dickbag. So, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it was, there was parts of it that worked really well. I thought it was strange how they, like, the crew was so varied in age. I thought that was really weird.
I feel like the old guy should have been the leader or the godfather because he's the oldest. Like, he must have taken a wrong turn somewhere in, like, the drug dealer game or, like, got in late.
Because, he didn't need to be old. And I was like, all right.
It was like somebody's friend. He's like, you can get shot in the back by like a dude in one scene and it'll be cool.
Oh, did you think that the Michael Rapaport looking dude was killed when he was punched in the face?
No.
I was like, all right, well, he punched him. Now he's just going to beat the shit out of this guy after they're tripping balls. And no, that was just like the Patrick Swayze like death punch. And I was like, oh, all right. Like, I was waiting for him to, like, rip his throat out or something. Yeah, I thought you'd be bigger. I was waiting for some line like that from straight up Roadhouse style. But I didn't, and so I was like, oh, that was the fucking super death punch. Okay. And now he's.
Bone into the brain or something.
Yeah, and then Fat Kid Rock was getting the hug, and then of course he was gonna get killed.
Okay. So now I'm like even more confused about this guy's character. Cause like, as we're still talking about it, I thought he was on a mission, but he's also like fucking with these guys.
Well,
because,
part of it has to do with the fact that he has PTSD, I think. I think that has to have some sort of purpose.
But I mean, like, if he still had that soldier mentality, you'd think that he would like show up, clock everybody headshots, and then leave. But he gets them all fucked up, and then he goes in and he like makes them dance for him and stuff. And I mean, I can understand, but then like he, you know, says that, you know, that thing about like his brother, and so like, I think this guy is just like a creepy fucking guy. Like, I feel like he's like, oh, well, I got home, I really have nothing to do, and I'm good at killing people. So like, I mean, this can be an opportunity for me to use my skills, I guess. Like the more I think about it, the weirder it is that he wasn't like super upset. Like, he didn't kill them and then like look at a picture of his brother and like be sad. You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's weirding me out now that I think about it.
Yeah, it's strange, because he's not having the weepy moments.
Yeah.
He's not having the, oh, fuck yeah, after he kills every one of them.
Right.
And he doesn't seem to be enjoying it yet, but yet he is doing things, like he's making them take the drugs, and then he is fucking with them a little bit.
Right.
Before killing him. So it's like, well, is he enjoying it, or is it a mission? Is it one way or the other?
Yeah, because I thought, I mean, like, I honestly thought, like, and I think that that is what it is. He was, like, spurned to do this because, you know, he loves his brother. But, like, some of the scenes, you're like, maybe he just really, like, likes breaking into people's houses and being weird. And, you know, like, he really enjoyed that guy coming up to him and, like, because he threatened the shit out of him. And you could tell he was, like, popping a boner when he was talking to him.
Oh,
so,
on the street there?
Yeah. It's weird. This is weird.
Yeah, it's strange. Like, it's more, what was that? kind of a movie. Yeah, and I don't know. I guess I can't really put my finger on it as much as I would like to.
Right, me either. That's why I'm saying shit out loud for no reason, so.
Well, that's what we do.
My other question is, so, like, this movie was, what, probably supposed to be over, like, a few days?
Yeah, because it wasn't saying like day one, day two, or something.
Okay, so it was like, I think 7 was the last day, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so where are the cops?
I think that's probably why they made them be drug dealers.
Okay, because like, what do you do with the body that says like one down?
Yeah, like, and he did give the guy, see, I thought he was framing the guy at the end. When he had given him the knife.
Right.
After he shanked Fat Kid Rock.
Right.
And so I was like, okay, well, he's just framing this fucker, and that's going to be his punishment. Because he's less involved, so I just thought he's going to go to jail or something.
Right. But, like, I mean, the cops are going to find all of those bodies, and the cops are, I mean, someone's going to eventually, I don't know if that was, like, some weird sort of castle that he eventually gets stabbed in at the end, but, like, someone's gonna find that.
Oh, that farmhouse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are they gonna, like, put any of this together? Like, since they're drug dealers, they probably were just like, oh, it's a drug deal gone bad, I guess. But I just thought, and I understand, like, putting cops in here as a subplot would just be an idiot idea, because it wouldn't help anything. But, like, it was kind of fun for me to, like, pretend that there was, like, another movie going on where the cops were like, what is happening here?
Yeah. Well, I did like that, it was quick and to the point. It was 90 minutes.
Yeah.
So I didn't really screw around too much. Explain this part to me. we have this woman who is the only girl with this whole group of guys.
Yeah.
And she's forced to have sex with the mentally handicapped guy. And then what happens to her?
They go...
Because they go see her.
Right.
But the guy, like Richard, doesn't really go visit her, right?
No. Well, and she, because she wasn't in when they went to the farmhouse. She wasn't there.
Right.
And, like, she obviously didn't want to have sex with him. They made that abundantly clear that, like, she...
Was forced to.
Not, yeah, like, she was forced to. So I think that, did they just go visit her to see if she was the one fucking with them?
Yeah, I think that the drug dealers went to her to see what the fuck was going on, like if she was behind this or something.
Right, and she's like, I obviously just like, leave me alone.
Yeah, and she had a kid and I was like, oh, so is that the handicapped dude's kid or?
Ew, I don't think so. I mean, not to be crude, but I'm pretty sure they didn't finish.
Oh, that's true.
But how long ago was the whole ordeal? Because, like, people had mullets, and now people don't have mullets, and she had a kid. Did she have a kid before? And that kid seems pretty old, and...
Well, am I wrong to think that the way that they shot her, it made her look like she was bigger? Because it looked like she was heavier, or it was the way that the guy was holding her face.
No, yeah, I agree with that. Or, you know, unless that was unintentional, but... Like, I mean, I guess the time span between the brother dying and the other brother coming back, was that, like, years, or?
Yeah, I would think it's probably years.
Because that one guy is, like, straight now. He has, like, kids and a wife, and he obviously didn't have any of that, and those kids looked, what, about, like, six something.
I mean, how long of a tour of duty would it be? I guess if he did two tours, that's probably like 8 years or so.
I have no idea.
I think that that's right. I could be completely wrong, but I think that that's right. So yeah, I mean, it could be about 8 years. That would be about right, because those kids seemed about that age.
Sure.
Or younger.
So I don't know. I was just wondering that, like, they didn't really give a timeline for that, but they were showing that people were, like, radically different, so it didn't just happen, like, you know, 6 months ago.
Yeah, it wasn't yesterday.
Which also, you know, makes the revenge reasoning really fucking weird for that guy. Like, 8 years later, and he obviously, I don't know, it's weirded me out, but, so, yeah, that timeline was interesting, but...
Yeah, because I was, you know, and I don't know that I really understood the reasoning behind the brother being in his head. Because when he's at the beginning and the brother's pointing out, like, oh, there's one of them, when he calls him a cunt at the pool hall.
Right.
And I'm like, well, what is the purpose of that? And is it, like, supposed to be a big twist? And you're like, oh, he was dead the whole time.
Well, I think...
Because the film doesn't really play it that way. It's not like Sixth Sense where they have this whole score and, you know, all that stuff.
Right. What it did for me was when I found out that he was actually dead, it was a holy shit moment.
Was it really? Okay. Because it didn't hit me that way, I guess. So that's interesting.
Because I was like... Well, you know, the whole time I'm like, well, these guys fucked around with this guy, and they probably ended up, like, I thought they would end up, like, kicking his ass, just, like, beating him up.
Yeah.
And then, so, like, when he's telling his wife, and then they show that he actually died, I'm like, oh, damn, so, like, they do deserve, you know, not deserve, but I mean, like, they did something super horrible, and so, it gave a little bit more credit to, like, why this guy was, like, walking around writing on people's, you know, walls and killing them. So, I don't know.
I guess I saw that and went, wait a minute, he's dead. What?
Right, that was
but my... I saw him at the beginning.
Yeah.
Just stupid, ugly American, like, wait a minute.
What? This wasn't spoon-fed to me, so it can't be right.
I didn't see... I saw him in color. Color's the present.
With my own eyes.
Yeah. I could rewind it and show you. I saw it right here.
Don't tell me.
Yeah, so I was just like, wait a minute, what now?
Yeah.
And I think the thing I was more confused by was like, well, for me, I don't know that that added a ton. Like, it was just like, oh, I fooled you. I was like, oh, all right, great. What was the point of that? You fooled me. Good for you. And, yeah. You know, it's just one of those.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it did for me. It, like, kind of put the nail in the coffin as to, like, why.
Yeah, that it was deserved then. I can see that. I don't know. So I guess at least these two were both, like, conversation pieces. Oh, totally. You know?
Yeah, they were both thinkers. So
that's good. I mean, I think that you run into with the revenge movies a lot of, like, Jean-Claude Van Damme type movies.
I will kill you.
Yeah. To where you're like, oh, you killed somebody, now I'm going to kill you, and that's the end. And you're like, all right, well, there's not a lot to say about that. So, you know, there's not a lot to go on. But these were at least ones that we definitely could debate as to what exactly what the hell was going on or how effective the different techniques were. So do you have anything else about either one of those, Cruiser?
No, I think that was all my notes.
Okay, well, if you have any comments for the show or movies that you'd like to hear us talk about, you could email us at plainlabelpodcast@gmail.com. You could follow the show over at Twitter under the handle @plainlabelpod, where you could follow me. I'm @ericwilliam79, and Rachel is @ladyzlag. We also have a Facebook page where you can like the show. Just search for Plain Label Podcast. And if you wanted to help us out a little bit, you could head over to amazon.com and search for our wish list. It's full of some movies, some equipment, and a whole bunch of other stuff. If you're in the giving mood, just search for Plain Label Podcast in the little wish list section there. So thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week with our new theme of movies about alcohol.
Hey!
If you could only see me, I know exactly where I am. You wouldn't want to be me. Oh, I can assure you that I'm not the guy to run with, 'cause I'll throw you off the line. I'll break you and destroy you, given time. He's King Midas, there's a curse. Right, it even lights to sleep at night.